Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Welcome to It's a Thing, the weekly podcast supported by you. Bless your hearts, where the only job we have, our only requirement, is that we live this life, that we open our eyes, we look around us, we take stock of the things, we determine which ones are the things, and we bring them and we present them as a little special wrapped up gift.
That's
from
right.
Us.
That's right. We're all about that thing life.
We really are, because it's just life, turns out. Turns out it's just everyday life. As a matter of fact. Full of things.
My first thing today is something that, like so many things that I bring to the show lately, comes from K-pop, but it is worldwide. It is not a thing you can use properly right now, but hopefully in 2021 you will be able to. Light sticks. So the evolution is the lighter to the glow stick to the light stick. And the light stick is like not just the glow stick. The light stick is like branded with your concert favorite, right? It's got your artist or band, and maybe it's got their face on it, or it's got some special name. And it's huge, actually, not even just in Korea, but all over Asia, or J-pop, K-pop, etc. But it's something that's kind of spreading through pop music everywhere, to the point that there's a global light stick market report from Eon Market Research.
Oh my God.
The top manufacturers in the global market with production price, revenue, and market share for each manufacturer will be covered, including Sino Glow, Northern Light Sticks Inc., Glow Sticks Limited, Extreme Glow, Baiwan Electronic, and Xinjiang All-Star Glow Toy.
While you were talking, I looked up the BTS Light Stick Army Bombs.
Oh yeah,
which is not just a light stick, but it has like a ball on top. It's like it's like a wand.
Yeah, some of them even do little projections. So like when you're home, it'll put like fun shapes up on your wall.
That's pretty awesome. So there's a home version. You don't just have to be at a concert.
That's true. You can use your light stick now and just be ready to take it to the concert once they're back in the. Well, they're sometimes in the stadiums. You're just not allowed to go see them.
Right. It's just all alone. There's one called Map of Soul 7. I want this.
But yeah.
Out of stock. I should not be. What? $70?
You're looking at BTS stuff, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Whoa.
That's crazy talk.
I was like, this will be a fun thing for my Secret Santa stocking. Nope.
Not at that price. It's not. There are cheaper ones out there for sure. And ones that aren't specific to bands, that are just kind of in the general style. But yeah, it's definitely a thing.
Oh yeah. Well, okay. So what's really funny about that is that my first thing for today is LED light strips, AKA TikTok lights, because it's gotten so popular and became such a trend. And I don't know if these two things are related. All I know is that LED lights in varying colors seems to be a mega trend. And these are but two iterations. And so one of them is that all the kids, including mine and all of his friends, are buying these. They're basically stick-on light strips.
Uh-huh.
So you stick them on your freaking paint, and I'm just saying that should you have paid to have your rooms freshly painted, and then your child just went in there and haphazardly put them on in a wave fashion. I was like, we could have put them right at the top and they would be all smooth and nice. But the kids love them, and they create this kind of like cave effect.
Uh-huh.
And they come, like, some of them are Bluetooth and you can sync it to your phone so that when you play music, they flash and give you a seizure, because that's apparently also the thing the kids love these days. I mean, if you go to Amazon, there are just like a bajillion of them.
This is great. 7 years ago, I had a professional lighting person install an LED light strip that they handcrafted and placed below my fireplace on the set in my old house for my videos. 2 years ago, I bought a Philips Hue LED light strip that I actually put on the bookshelves behind me for my videos. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, oh yeah, no, this is for TikTok kids. And we've mass produced them and made them incredibly cheap. This is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, they're borderline disposable.
Yeah.
Cause you just like, you like get them and then they ruin the paint. They're like $14.
4 feet.
IKEA sells them. Like literally we bought some at IKEA, but they're not as good because they don't have all the different colors. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the RGB LED lights are a huge thing. And if you do a search for TikTok lights and then, you know, click images, like it's just all of these kids like making the peace sign and showing their lights. And I'm just saying that those go in straight lines, unlike the ones that my son hung in his newly painted room.
Yeah, but his are artistic.
I'll fix it.
I love this. We have Refinery 29. I'm not worried. Story that calls them the best TikTok lights. They're not LED strips. Yes. They're TikTok lights.
They're TikTok lights. Yeah. Like, I don't know. And again, it's just one of those things. Yeah. Refinery 29 wrote about it in March. I am shocked that it took me this long to live the TikTok light life because we're on like strip 17. I mean, my son's been, you know, having these and asking for them and tearing them down and whatever, and they break and then this and that. But like, it just took me a way too long time to be like, oh, it's a thing though.
Yeah. No, this feels like a no doubter, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's everywhere. And yeah, I think you've caught it in early days. Seems like anyway.
I mean,
not early by, days not by olds. TikTok time, of course. My TikTok time is probably over, but like I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. That means they're probably creeping up into, you know, people who don't have teenagers. But yeah, Daily Dot wrote about them in June. They're like, by June of this year, they were a Generation Z signature at this point.
Well, and your son hasn't taken them down yet, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, there you go. They're still valid.
And in fact, when we had to get special new ones for the new house. So yeah, it's right. A whole. Okay. Yep. Yep. And when you start to search, you know, LED lights, like TikTok comes up. It's but I'm kind of fascinated by the like overall lighting trend.
Well, LED lights really have revolutionized a lot of decorative lighting, right? Because they're cheap, they're energy efficient. So like I feel like an old man because I have strips of lights that aren't LED in my Christmas lights. Like I'm just wasting energy at this point. So I'm trying to slowly replace those because the LEDs are so much better.
Mm-hmm. I know. And so stylish. I assume you mean you're going to replace them with strips of TikTok lights.
I wasn't, but.
With a remote control and like 30 different colors and pulse in time with the music. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's of course I am.
Send us pics. Send pics.
I'm a teenager. well, my next thing is one that it wasn't hard to find validation out there about, but my discovery of it was more anecdotal, more like just talking to other people. And it's the opposite end of what we loved when Netflix first started doing original programming. And it was then sort of an extension of what HBO had done, which is, gosh, an hour long program doesn't have to be 46 minutes anymore because they don't have to acquire commercial breaks. They can just make the episodes be as long as they need. Now, many years later, everyone's like, why are these episodes so damn long? Does every episode need to be an hour and 5 minutes? Like, it seems like these shows drag, and I like the story, but couldn't they like cut it back a little bit?
Yeah. Dude, seriously though. Yes. I could not agree more. And I don't know why it became a trend. And I actually, the flip side too, is I hear people all the time when I went through my What We Do in the Shadows phase and I would recommend it to people. One of the selling points that I would offer for that show was that it was only 30 minutes. And people would be like, oh, yeah. Great.
It was 22, right? Because it had ads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also variable length shows.
I think I said 46 instead of 42, but yeah.
Well, that's okay. Because they used to be, you know, it used to be more like radio style. And now streaming seems to have finally broken the model. And you'll have shows like The Mandalorian, for example, which is sort of like all over the place, it seems like.
And The Mandalorian is a good exception that proves the rule. If a show's good enough, you won't care. And The Mandalorian is one where I don't care. I don't notice when it's longer. I'm shocked when I look at the runtime quite often with The Mandalorian. But not most shows are The Mandalorian. No. And even The Mandalorian isn't The Mandalorian for everyone. So you got to make your show really good, not just long. Like, I love that artists have gotten the chance to like expand and not feel like they had to cut important things and solve everything in the last 5 minutes because you're running out of time. That's great. But now the discipline is on them, right? Because the format doesn't force them to be disciplined.
I mean, look, we already had to learn this as podcasters. It's adorable that all you TV people are now discovering what it's like to discover podcasting and be like, oh, it can be as long as you want it to. We have absolute freedom to be unfettered. Nobody actually wants that.
No.
They don't. No. 45 minutes is literally the max anybody wants.
People?
Yep. Like, we're here to help.
Right,
for
right.
a Call large us. Consulting fee.
We have a very reasonable by corporate expense account standard consulting fee.
Exactly. We would be thrilled to tell you Hollywood types that your shows are too damn long. You're welcome.
In much longer words and with an invoice.
A deck.
Yeah, totally. I found our Buzz Out Loud deck the other day. I don't know if I sent that to you.
Seriously?
Yeah, it's on my hard drive here.
That was amazing.
I'll dig it back up and send it to you. It was when we pitched the scene at All Hands. Anyway, I digress.
Wow. Yeah, that's incredible. But yes, I totally agree. It matches the movie thing. And it's just like, look, I'm sorry. This is more about you guys than it is about us. So knock it off.
Yeah, yeah. Episodes don't have to be short, but they don't have to be long. They need to be appropriate length to the efficient telling and appropriate telling of your story.
And they can also be short. That's also fine.
I mean, I know that's easy for me to say, but that's why they pay you.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, come on. Who can't be edited? Like, not every freaking TV writer needs to be full Christopher Nolan here. Like, it's exhausting. I agree. I don't know why this thing has come back around. I assume it is somehow pandemic related. Maybe it's about waste and people wanting to like reduce the single use plastic. Maybe everyone is over spending all the money on LaCroix, but the Soda Stream is back.
It's making a resurgence. I've noticed more ads about it.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but I was thinking about it because I went to Bed Bath & Beyond last week, I guess. And they had like a big sign in the window that was like, no more than one Soda Stream per person.
Wow.
And I was like, wait, what? Is there suddenly like a massive demand? Are they hard to get? Is there a shortage? And I sort of put it in my mental back burner, like, I'm just looking at the Soda Stream thing. And then like Black Friday came around and all of the sale emails and the Cyber Monday week and almost all of them featured Soda Streams. It was like constant. Amazon is having, there was a blaring headline that was like, Amazon is having a huge sale on Soda Streams for one day only.
That's the thing. That's the telling detail, right? Because Bed Bath & Beyond is the ancestral home of the Soda Stream. and when they're like, they're not saying like, we still got Soda Streams, but we can't sell you more than one Soda Stream. When Amazon is like, hey, come over here. We got your Soda Streams. We know y'all looking for Soda Streams. Like,
and it's on sale.
That feels like a pandemic-related trend, too, of people being like, I don't want to have to go out and carry around heavy things of soda. Maybe I can just make it myself and carry around and heavy things of carbonated water.
Kind of real. I mean, I will say I have definitely noticed how many, you know, LaCroix cans we go through now that we're in that. And it's like a little ridiculous. And I've kind of been like, I'm not going to buy this so much. But yes, apparently it has caused everyone to Soda Stream it up.
But you still have to buy the Soda Stream materials, right?
You have to get the canisters. If you don't care about it being flavored, then you just really have to get the carbon dioxide canisters.
So the carbon dioxide canisters, and then you use your own water.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just like water.
So the canisters, the carbon dioxide canisters, obviously lighter than going out and buying actual soda. Even if you get the flavors are in small little airplane vodka bottles.
Yep. Yeah. And then you have to store your SodaStream bottles somewhere, but you just make a bunch and put them in the fridge. I mean, I used to have a SodaStream, but then remember they were like exploding? Maybe they fixed the
Maybe they don't kill people anymore.
Because I got rid of mine because I was like, oh, I don't think they ever blow up. I think that they sent a shard of bone into a guy's brain. No, I have no idea. I can't remember. But I remember that there was some explosion situation.
Yeah. You are releasing carbon dioxide.
Are you not just trying to find what's wrong?
No. I'm just
indoor pollution.
I'm just surprised that this would take back off at a time when everyone is, you know, like environmentally aware, because I don't believe that the carbon dioxide in the soda stream is going to make a hill of beans difference in global warming. But I imagine that just that name, just saying carbon dioxide, you're buying carbon dioxide, would make people go, whoa, wait, do I want to do that?
Yeah. Apparently they do. Because
no, the answer is they do. You're right.
It's bananas. It must be convenience related is all I can assume. It's probably, I'm sure it's not that environmental. It's just people being like, I want fizzy water at home, but it's annoying to keep buying it.
Yeah. Cause it's heavy.
Yeah.
And they're not going out. So they're drinking more beverages at home. Yeah. That all makes sense.
It's just so, it's super funny. So keep your eye out for the sales. They're not currently on sale. $160 at Amazon right now for the SodaStream AquaFizz sparkling water machine with CO2 and glass carafes.
Well then.
But I might put it on my wish list. Hey-oh.
You should. Who's shopping for Molly out there? Secret Santas. Let's get to the feedback. And our first piece of feedback comes from dear friend of the show, Remy.
Hey, this is Remy. I don't know if you really want an explanation for why Easter doesn't just stick to the same day every year, but I'll give you one anyway. Well, you mentioned Hanukkah. And, of course, Hanukkah is an observation of the rededication of the temple in the 2nd century BCE. And, naturally, it's based on the traditional Jewish calendar, which is a lunar calendar. Each month starts with the new moon, so it doesn't line up with ours. Easter is when it is because it's after Passover. Christ was celebrating Passover with his apostles, and since Passover is a Jewish holiday, and therefore tied to the Jewish calendar, so too Easter, which is a couple days after Passover, is also tied to the Jewish calendar. At least they did you the favor of sticking it to the same day.
Yes, at least it's a Sunday. Thank you. Remy, coming through with the explanation. That was great.
I wasn't really paying attention. Do you mind playing that again?
Hey, this is Remy. I don't know if you really want
to. Thank you.
I know that's the only part you really wanted to hear anyway. Also, points to Remy for not being, well, actually, but like, I don't know if you really wanted the answer, but here it is in case you did.
I mean, so great. And also, I had no idea. And that's fantastic.
I actually knew parts of that. But his explanation was so cogent and compressed and efficient that
of course it was.
Yeah, it was perfect. It was great.
That's like his. Oh, I'm smarter so now.
Thank
awesome.
You, Remy.
Thanks, Remy. Okay, new listener Drake, get it together, woman. New listener Drake wrote in. Molly Drake. And Tom, just heard your podcast. Drake, well, look at us. We've arrived. Just heard about your podcast while listening to Tom's interview on CCATP. Have you covered the trend over the last few months of universities and ad hoc groups using 3D printers to produce nasal swabs and face shields for medical personnel that are experiencing shortages?
Yes.
I did on the other show.
On Daily Tech News Show.
One of yours?
And
yes.
Molly did on her.
Definitely.
Yeah. I hear.
I mean, 3D printers are like the most baby nascent, not quite really real thing ever. And yet they've come through in that regard.
Well, and part of the reason, not to get too make me smart /DTNS, but part of the reason is because 3D printers have taken off in industrial settings more so than in the home setting, which makes them better for doing things like nasal swabs and face shields.
Oh, but no, people are doing it at home.
Oh, like, yeah. Like no,
sending,
I know. But,
yeah, they were sending but it's, around. Well, but the, we know because we
I guess
it.
What I'm trying to say is like there's a lot of people with experience with 3D printers out there who are like, oh, yeah, I know totally know how to make designs for this. And then they share it around. And then the people at home can start printing them up.
Yes,
I know there's people at home doing the designs, too. But yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, definitely. They're so close.
Chip from Boston wrote in on the Theragun, Molly.
Oh.
Chip says, hey, Tamale, I just listened to your discussion about the Theragun, and I agree it is a definite thing. I wanted to offer a different opinion on percussive massagers, though. From my experience, they do not hurt. I mean, if you use them wrong or go too deep, it could hurt, but used correctly, it feels fantastic, almost like your muscles are being vibrated. It works out knots like a deep tissue massage would, but with none of the pain. My husband and I have been getting percussive massage treatments at our local massage place for a while now, and it has worked wonders. It is so good that last year we bought one for ourselves, which was a huge help when everything shut down in the spring. I would highly recommend you both try it. It is awesome. Love the show. Keep up the great work. Thank you, Chip.
I've had percussive massages before, not from a machine. I know what you're talking about, and it is pretty great.
Yeah.
All right, I've pulled it up on the Amazon. I'm just gonna put that on my wish list real quick. No, I'm just kidding.
sometimes Molly and I like to react because it's fun. I don't think we really thought that this was hurting people.
That's not true. A whole bunch of people said it hurts like hell.
Yeah, okay. There we go.
Also, yeah, you can't tell. It just look when you see somebody's skin shaking and the whatever. No,
that's
whatever,
what I was talking
you.
About. Is that
thank you for the like, firsthand review. Just, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
No, but this is good. It, if used correctly, it might be better because it's not as hard or Mr. I don't know. Yeah, it's good review, Chip. Thank you.
That Charlie dude wrote in with a thing check.
Okay.
Thing check.
Thing check on aisle three.
Have you all talked about e-bikes? I feel like e-bikes are becoming a thing. I've been seeing more and more of them in my neighborhood and around town, and I'm seeing more articles about them, several stating e-bike sales and popularity are up due to COVID and people wanting to get out and exercise while social distancing. I've been enjoying being able to ride a bike again since the motor helps take some of the strain off bad knees.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of Silicon Valley-oriented e-bike interest.
That's actually really funny because I have seen a couple of people ride by me very calmly on hills and been like, wait a second, I think that's
well, that's what I mean, Bay Area, when I say Silicon Valley. I got all Southern California on you and just lumped you all in the Silicon Valley.
But man,
I feel like, and maybe I should even say California, because I definitely see them down here too. But I wasn't sure if that was just a local thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But it does make sense that they would become more. I mean, it all makes right. sense that everything would become more popular now because everyone's like, I don't know. Sure, I'll buy this.
Offie but James says they're gaining traction in Chicago.
Hey, fascinating. Yeah, e-bikes starting to pop up. I mean, I'm the target market that you mentioned, so it's hard for me to say, but there's literally an e-bike store, like a bike store that used to be a regular bike store, and now all it sells is e-bikes.
Oh, Totes checking in saying, yep, big here in Edmonton.
There we go.
All right.
See, it's coming.
Go Oilers.
I mean, they're freaking genius, and I'm kind of tempted to get one. Oh, God, what is wrong with me?
I think this is a crowd thing. Check. I think we're
it is.
Yeah.
Crowdsourced thing.
Gaining
a
consensus.
Yeah, but it looks like it. Get the bike, Molly says. Rich.
Rich is a bad influence.
Shopping self. Stop.
Ben Ross, okay, THD, wrote in with a potential real estate thing. Odd, unique real estate listings. There was a New York Times piece a few weeks back by Taylor Lorenz about scrolling Zillow as an escape during the pandemic. This potential thing brings it to a different level of crazy, like photos so bad they're good, random rooms staged with the villain from the Scream movie franchise jauntily posed, and the rooms and entire houses leaving you shouting, what were they thinking? Some digging led me to believe this may be a long-term low-key thing, since I did find this absolute gem/time suck of a subreddit called Ridiculous Real Estate. What piqued my interest in this as a potential thing was this listing for a unique home in Philly. While the home looks generally interesting/eclectic, it's the video tour that really goes above and beyond. It's worth every second of the 10 plus minutes. Wait until about 55 seconds in and you'll see.
All right. We'll have that in the show notes. I'm obviously not going to click it for fear that I would buy it at about 50 seconds in on the show. Store,
surrounded by European. That's the soundtrack of the video. They're singing a description of the video of the house
with warm gas stove, built-in storage bench, apple shelving, and an open connection to every home's epicenter, the kitchen. From the family room, a double pane glass door.
Okay. Yeah, I get it.
Dude, how do I get that job?
Right? Singing the real estate descriptions?
Because I'm not saying I can sing very well, but I can sing well enough for that.
In Philly, of all places. Yeah.
What? That is incredible. I need to know more about the thing of singing the house tours.
Yeah. Who wants a Creed-based listing, says Rich, our producer.
I mean, connections to the epicenter? Wow. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely, yep. Uh-huh.
And then going into the soft-spoken word, and this is the
foul. And this is a family room. With connections.
Oh, no, with doors wide open.
To every room's epicenter. With doors wide open under the skylight. Don't try to bait me, producer Rich. It won't work. We have that Thursday energy. Oh my goodness. Okay. I'm focused. Hey, Tom and Molly, says Alan. We have another thing check from Alan in Salt Lake City. I'm a longtime listener and first time thinger. Welcome, Alan. Could I get a thing check on cooking chopsticks?
Thing check.
My daughter, 24, recently got a set and says that she knows a number of other people that have been buying them as well. I haven't seen it myself, but I'm an isolated elder millennial, so it may be growing amongst other groups. Is this a bigger thing or just a local bubble? You know what? I'm going to say can confirm on this thing check. I obviously want to hear from the crowd on this one, but my son has been accidentally deleted that cell, and I apologize, and I can't make it come back.
Just command Z.
We'll revert that later. I'm moving on.
Control Z, command Z.
Oh, there we go. Anyway, my son watches a bunch of YouTube cooking videos, and there is a lot of using the chopsticks for stirring. And also, it is apparently a thing to make omelets with the cooking chopsticks.
All right.
Like, there's a whole, like, a fold situation that happens with it. Yeah, definitely.
So, cooking chopsticks, busting out.
Also, cool. Good catch. Yeah. Really cool.
Nicely done, Alan.
Look, I'm going to get... He's in the other room, so I gotta be quiet. I'm gonna get my son some cooking chopsticks. That's a good idea.
Yeah, get him some
pizza. Okay, thanks. Thank you. Thanks. Good call. Also, producer Rich says whisking with chopsticks he commonly sees. Yes.
Yep.
Love it.
Shout outs this week, as produced by producer Rich, are based on a plot synopsis of the 1989 Star Trek novel Spock's World by Diane Duane.
Oh, I'm loving everything about this already. Okay, I'm going to try to see where the sentences end. Is he trying to trick us because they don't? Oh, look, it's only two sentences. Perfect. Oh, I'll take the first one.
All right, here we go.
While on Vulcan, the crew discovers, mostly through detective work by Dr. Lee Price, using the aid of a sentient computer named Kevin Sill, resident on the Enterprise, that the secession movement was sparked at least partially by Gabrielle Cohen, Jake Wood's childhood bride mate, who has nursed a grudge against Brad, Sparks, and Jake for years for the deception involved in their participation in the Kunut Khalifi ceremony described in the original series episode, Eric Duncan.
Using the financial resources and connections available to her after the death of Louis Saint-Amour, Cohen funded many of the organizations seeking to spark anti-Mike Aiken's prejudice in the larger Vulcan population, as well as arranging favorable contracts for them regarding Federation property that would revert to the care of the Vulcan government should the secession take place.
Bravo, sir. I'm
speechless. I couldn't even remember the word speechless. I was so speechless.
Thank you to those of you who support us at the shout out level. To those of you who support us at all at patreon.com/itsathing. We are so grateful. It is so wonderful to see you in the Discord every week. It's like the best part of the week. A total pick me up. And thanks for making the show possible.
Yeah.
We're so grateful.
Send us your emails. We need your things. Your things are good. In fact, someday, keep sending those emails. We'll just make the whole show you, because you guys are great. Feedback and it's a thing, not me.
Your things are good. That sounded a little Ben Kenobi. Not sure why. Anyway, yes. See you next time.
Bye.
Your things are good. Childhood bridemate.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.